How to Listen to God by Charles Stanley. Chapter 8, Your Spiritual Mindset. John and James sit next to each other in church every Sunday, and they listen to the same message. John is maturing in his faith and learning to walk in the Spirit. His life is productive and fruitful. Meanwhile, James is not growing. He does not share his faith, and he is not productive. How can this paradox be explained? How can a husband and wife sit in the same pew, but one grows and one remains stagnant? How can two collegians hear the very same message or broadcast or read the same book, but one comes away excited and the other totally unmotivated? Could it be that we come to God with certain mindsets that determine our responses? Could it be that we are often mentally and spiritually predetermined to select what we want to listen to and ignore, at our peril, what we need to hear? A poem by Ella Wheeler Wilcox goes like this. One ship drives east and another drives west, with the selfsame winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sails, and not the gales, which tells us the way to go. I am convinced that our spiritual mindset in hearing and appropriating spiritual truth greatly affects how we listen to God. In Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9, Jesus gave us a familiar parable that plainly illustrates four different types of spiritual hearers, who each heard the word through different spiritual gifts. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And the great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The type of sowing Jesus depicted in this parable involved a very narrow strip of soil cleaned of rock and thorny bushes. Adjacent to this strip were paths for donkeys and people. The people would scatter the seed as they walked, just as we would in our yards. Occasionally, they would put a sack of seed on a donkey, cut a small hole in the sack, walk through the field, and let the seed drop out. Sometimes the wind would blow seeds onto unprepared soil, or the animal would randomly drop seeds as it crossed the hardened path along the rows. A closed mind. In verse 4, Jesus said, Some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Jesus' own interpretation of this is found in verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. The first type of hearer is one with a closed mind. That doesn't mean just the unbeliever, because the believer can fit into this category too. We could be talking about a person who regularly goes to church or who frequently listens to gospel programs on television and radio. A closed-mind person is one who decides what he is going to hear and what he is not going to hear. He shuts his mind to anything that demands of him something he does not choose to give. Such people sit and listen passively. They have sat through hundreds of sermons but have no intention of applying what was said or of changing their behavior. Their minds are closed because they have so often heard the truth without responding. That is a dangerous position. Their hearts become hardened when they grow passive in their listening, not taking the initiative to respond. When these people hear, it's like seed dropped on the hard surface where it has no chance of germinating. It lies for the animals and the people to trample on, baked dry in the sun. Passive listeners will listen up to a point, but then hedge their commitments. When their absolute obedience is commanded, their minds slam shut like a door in a stiff wind. Literally, thousands of believers go to church with such a stubborn mindset. Even before they arrive, they have already determined the limits of truth they will accept. They are willing to listen as long as what they hear doesn't get too personal. When the requirements about commitment to the Lordship of Christ get too stringent, they become callous because they have heard so often without obeying the truth. When that happens, Satan comes along and steals the truth. If they do not take the initiative to apply the truth they have heard, Satan will steal it out of their lives every time. After all, why should God continue to allow them to hear one truth after the other when they are not going to do anything about it? To listen passively to Scripture, which is the eternal word of the living God, is a sin against God. To prescribe arbitrarily areas that God can enter in their lives denies His lordship. Unfortunately, when the bottom falls out in their lives and they cry to a God whom they've refused to listen to for years, they have a difficult time talking to Him. It is not because God hasn't been listening all those years, but because of the callousness of their spirits. People are actually better off never to hear God's word than to attend church and listen passively, committed to a closed mind. God is going to touch every part of our lives, whether we like it or not. He will deal with every minute aspect of our existence. The people who play the fool are the ones who callously listen to truth. They don't become callous by refusing to listen to God or by arguing with God. They become callous by listening and not responding. For months, I witnessed to an administrator at a nearby university. Occasionally, he would attend the Sunday morning service, but he always scoffed at anything miraculous or supernatural. His mind was closed. He attended only to please his wife. One Sunday afternoon, he had invited friends to his home for a cookout. A sudden cloudburst sent everyone hurrying into the house to escape the downpour. He was the last one to run for cover. With his hands full and body soaked, he ran toward the sliding glass door, not realizing that the last person through had closed it. He smashed through the glass. In a matter of seconds, he was lying in a pool of blood. On my second visit with him in the hospital, he said to me, "I have been thinking about what you have been trying to tell me. I think I am now ready to listen." It took near tragedy to get him to listen, but he did. He was saved and became a bold witness for the Lord. There are multitudes who sit and listen, who read the gospel every week, but never think about what they encounter. They never sift through it in their lives. They never apply it. Their minds are closed. A cloudy mind. In verses 5 and 6 of the parable, Jesus described a second type of listener. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. In verses 20 and 21, Jesus interpreted the analogy. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the world, immediately he stumbles. Even when Palestinian farmers cleared out a section of land to plant their crops, only a thin layer of soil was on top of a rocky area, leaving the seed too little earth to take root in. As the plant sprouted in the hot sun, it withered away almost immediately. Depicted in this section of the parable is the hearer with the cloudy mind. Cloudy-minded hearers listen to the word of God and get excited. They trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Having been saved, they just want to praise the Lord and enjoy the thrill. The problem is, they don't take the time to study Scripture and sink their roots into the Word of God so they may gain a firm foundation. They are not attached to anything. They have no doctrinal basis. When the storms and the heat come, they've had it. This is why so many people who have been Christians for quite some time fall apart when they experience a crisis. They just rip apart at the seams. They shout hallelujah until an affliction comes along and devastates them. Why? Because their minds are addled with confusion, turmoil, and unbelief. The lack of spiritual exercise has made their spirits and minds flabby and unable to respond to the urgency of the problem. It's one thing to have an experience, but if we don't know what the foundation of that experience is, we're headed for trouble. We are to constantly renew our minds and ground ourselves in the Word of God. We should all be willing to examine ourselves and see if we really know why we believe what we believe. We should be able to tell others why we believe in the forgiveness of sin, why we're not afraid of dying, how our bodies will be resurrected, or what it means to be justified, redeemed, sanctified, and reconciled. Taking root means that we dig deep into the Word for ourselves and discover the firmness of His Word. If our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life and we hope to miss all of life's afflictions until we arrive in heaven, we're in serious trouble. Believers are going to be tried and tested in the fires of affliction. When we have no root in the truth, we simply can't take the heat. The vacillating world of the adolescent is a good example of the cloudy mind. One day he struggles to act like a mature adult, and the next day he lapses into obvious juvenile behavior. He sways back and forth like a tree bending in the wind. Such people are susceptible to the cults that come along because they are not firmly entrenched in the knowledge of the Word of God. They are prime targets for anybody who happens by with something new because they always want a new experience. They are not satisfied with Jesus because they do not know Him. If they would take the effort to dig in deeper into the Word of God, they would discover how exciting Jesus Christ really is. Jesus Christ isn't a temporary, momentary thrill. He is life. If an individual is satisfied being saved and keeping a cloudy mind and not knowing what he believes, why he believes, or who he believes in, then he is a poor listener. The cloudy-minded hearer has no real intention of investigating the Word or of growing. He just likes the security of missing hell and going to heaven. Most of us have heard multitudes of sermons, but how much do we remember of them? Are we listening with cloudy minds? Or are we listening for God to add another significant truth to our lives? The cloudy-minded hearer risks the danger of relaying unsound faith to his offspring, although he may not do it intentionally. His instability in the Word is transmitted by example to impressionable children, who never really learn how to be firmly grounded in Scripture or belief. As a result, his children are prime targets for silver-tongued deceivers who undermine their weak biblical foundations with what seem to be convincing arguments. The father who constantly analyzes the truth heard through churches, Bible study groups, or personal devotions encourages his family to sink its roots deep into the Word. The father who persistently seeks to teach his children how to apply the Word of God gives them a support system that will withstand the extreme storms of doubt and skepticism. A cluttered mind. The third category of listener is pictured by Jesus in verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Jesus' explanation is given in verse 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This person has a cluttered mind. He comes to church or Bible study, and while the word is being delivered, his mind churns with questions. Did I turn the stove off? What am I going to do tomorrow? What can I do to make more sales this week? Will I get a raise this month? The cluttered mind is full of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, full of things, people, money, business, and school. Tremendous thorn bushes of worldly worries suffocate the word of God. Satan bombards our minds with so many things that there's no room for God anymore. It becomes difficult for God to speak to our hearts when our minds are so cluttered with other things. Have you ever sat in front of the television or listened to the radio or a tape and had your mind on the Word of God? The next thing you knew, you were dreaming of your summer vacation. Have you ever come before the Lord for devotion and your mind was humming with business or home or children? Well, those things are natural and normal to think about. Satan will do all he can to detour our minds away from the important task at hand, and that is listening to what God has to say. That is why it is so very important that our hearts be prepared, lest we miss the important truths that God desires to share with us. The best step to take in this instance is to quickly bring your attention back to God and change gears a bit. If you were praying, turn to Psalms and begin reading. If your eyes and mind become heavy while reading Scripture, close the Bible for a few minutes and consciously praise God. Praising God through thanksgiving and through acknowledging His character and attributes is one of the best ways I know to break the bonds of a wandering mind. David said that God inhabits the praise of His people. Praising God brings God warmly near in our hearts. Singing hymns out loud is also a good way to chase off the devil of diversion. The most priceless information ever put between two covers is found in the Bible. And there is something wrong in the thinking of a person who will not give concentrated attention for a period of time to hear its magnificent truth. A committed mind. Jesus delineated a fourth type of hearer in verse 8. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He expounds on that in verse 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produced some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The committed mind is pictured as fertile soil. It has been cultivated, ready for the seed to penetrate. It can enclose the seed, envelop the seed, provide the heat and moisture needed for the seed to germinate and bring forth fruit. The committed mind is the teachable mind. God can instruct a teachable man or woman in anything. The finest intellect in the world who is not teachable will miss the great truths of God. A child's mind is a wonderful example of the teachable spirit. Children believe with hearts open and impressionable. They are sensitive and they want to learn. Although adults have all sorts of skepticisms, doubts, and hang-ups, certain principles can help cultivate the fertile soil Jesus described. First, we must commit ourselves to listen carefully to His message through our pastor, a friend, a book, a television or radio program, or a Bible study group. Second, we must commit ourselves by faith to resist outside clutter. When scattered thoughts bombard us, we must purposely refuse to listen and ask the Lord to help us concentrate on His word. This can only be done by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the one who enables us to receive the word clearly. Third, We must make a commitment to evaluate our lives in the light of what we hear. We must take the initiatives to sift through the truths we encounter. Fourth, we must make a commitment to apply the truths that God impresses in our hearts. If we don't, Satan will steal them quickly. Fifth, we must make a commitment to obey those truths that God has impressed upon our lives. When we obey the truths God has impressed on us, we grow into productive, fruit-bearing believers. If we don't, we can attend church 52 Sundays a year and still be the spiritual babes we were before we began. Preaching and the power of the Word have had no impact upon our lives because we have not obeyed. It is spiritually impossible to apply the Word week after week and remain the same. As listeners with committed minds, we become productive, maturing children of God. The fruitful mindset begins with the seed of a committed mind, blossoming into the productive disciple who hears and obeys God with power and clarity. His garden is fertile. As the psalmist declared in Psalm 84:5, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set upon pilgrimage." God seeks to support not the closed mind, the cloudy mind, or the cluttered mind, but the committed mind, the mind of a person who stands steadfast in his heart.